So, would you like to play another song?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah?
Who needs to vote on what?
Do you guys ever do Strange together?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You think that one?
Sure.
Do you have a song that embodies your love? You two? Johnny and Molly?
Sure you do.
No.
Don't you do him like that, Molly. Don't you do him.
I mean, if not...
Well, I guess don't... I mean,
I don't know
what the closest to a love song is "Don't Remember Me," but even that,
I think it's pretty.
Is it called "Don't Remember Me"?
Yes.
Okay, sounds beautiful already.
Well, yeah, this is a song you asked for it, so this is what you get. Sorry.
This is our love, or we should do a cover called "No Children."
No, this is a song that I wrote to Molly, actually, right before I got sober. This is the band. We had put out our first record, and it was before I had checked into treatment. I didn't know I was going to treatment. I just kind of thought that things were over. And so I sent her a song, and it's called "Don't Remember Me." I'm 31, or I'm 17. I'm almost dead, but I'm almost clean, and I wish I didn't have to love you this way. And plenty of years, and plenty of lines, the best ahead, but a few behind, and I wish I didn't have to love you this way. And don't remember me. Remember the man I wanted to be. I made mistakes, but I banked a few. It might not be much, but it's all for you. And I wish I didn't have to love you this way. I'm not the man that I wish for you, but I know my heart, and I know it's true. I wish I didn't have to love you this way. And don't remember me. Remember the man I wanted to be. And plenty of years, plenty of lines, the best ahead, behind, and I wish I didn't have to love you this way. I'm 31, I'm 17, I'm almost dead, but I'm almost clean. I wish I didn't have to love you this way. I'm 31, or I'm 17, I'm almost dead, but I'm almost clean. I wish I didn't have to love you this way.
That was amazing, dude.
Thank you very much.
So beautiful.
I can totally, like, feel that, like, inside.
You feel the love? Is that what you're saying?
I was tearing up.
I'm never going to say I'm tearing up, but we're not going to go that far.
No, nobody can see it on the radio, man.
Yeah.
We all know that you're bawling.
But
just
y'all can see
crying.
It. I can't let you see the side of me, man. Not at all.
That is a very beautiful song, Johnny.
Thanks.
And for you to have wrote that for Molly, so beautiful.
You're a special lady, Molly.
Yes.
He was trying to get me back.
Oh.
No.
There's
more to that story.
It didn't work initially.
What year did you write that in?
2010, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was 2016, so it worked.
Yeah. It was the long game. I was playing the long game.
Yes.
When you really, really want something bad enough, you gotta be patient.
Wait for it.
Yes.
So how did you guys meet?
Who, me and Molly?
Yes. Or? You and Molly.
Oh, it's a really embarrassingly bad story on
embarrassing?
My part.
It's not that embarrassing.
I was actually the drummer, who is not here. he lived in a house in South Minneapolis, and I was hanging out with him and another guy, and we were single, young fellas on the town, and we decided that we wanted to have a dance party. Like invite a bunch of people
girls
over.
Girls like dance parties, right?
And girls like dance parties. Girls like to dance, whatever.
Absolutely.
And so we basically, all of us pretty much did that annoying text of everybody we know that like, hey, what's up, you know? And
dance party.
So my friend Trisha and I were hanging out and she received a text and she said, do you want to go to a dance party? And I said, okay, sure. And we showed up at this house, and it was just like three dudes.
Playing Madonna.
Only
playing
three Madonna. With Madonna.
Three and we dudes. Were the only girls that showed up, and we both had boyfriends at
listening
the time.
Listening to Like a Prayer in the kitchen. I was like, welcome to our dance party.
But luckily, we all got along, and it was fun. And
yeah, we hung out.
And yeah, that's how we first met.
Yeah. But
did y'all do any dancing?
There was no dancing.
I don't think we
that,
danced
no,
at all.
No, no. At that point, it was like just like wow, we really did not deliver on this one. But yeah, and then Molly sang on a couple songs, and from there, I was like, I think maybe Al, did I play that stuff for you first before Molly joined the band? And I was like, ooh, I think we should have this girl sing in our band.
Okay, so you found her talent, right?
Yes.
And was there an attraction first? At first?
It's, you know, it's like in my head, there were two different lanes. And sadly, most of the way that I live is like, ooh, how will that help my music? You know, which is maybe not a very pleasant way to be a person.
Molly's laughing over here.
Yeah. I like, you know, I met Molly and I was like, I like this girl. But then I heard her sing and I was like, ooh, I like this girl's voice. And there's an old rule that should never be broken that always is broken, which is you should never date somebody in your band. And so I had this thought of like, do I have her join the band? Because she's amazing, or do I try and go out on a date with her? And I think she answered the question for me by not going out on a date with me. So I was like, all right.
I want your band.
Yeah, I have this other proposition.
So from there, you eventually dated?
We were in a band together for a while. And this is this is like before Dylan joined, but Al was in the band at the time. Al was just joining the band at the time. And I was kind of a disaster at this point. This is where I was really hitting the skids. And I think I was pretty vocal to Molly the whole time that I was like, you know, at any time you could get with this. And she was like, no, that's not happening. And, but she told me that, she told me, this is true, she told me that she could see herself marrying me, but not the way that I am, and not now. And so I was like, just give me a little bit of time here. I'll take care of some things.
Oh, that's incredible.
It didn't work out that nicely, though.
It's not.
Watching somebody get sober is a pretty rough thing. But we got together like right before I went, finally checked into treatment after we started dating. And then I stuck with it.
Good.
Having Molly in your life gave you something to work towards.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it, I still say one of the main reasons I got sober was that one day that song I wrote, Don't Remember Me, I wrote that song, and then every day I woke up after that, I wasn't able to write music anymore. And so suddenly my ability to play and write music was gone. And
really?
Yeah. And so I was at this, that to me was like my rock bottom moment where I was like, well, if I don't have music anymore, and you know, I'd lost friends, I'd lost, you know, my life, I'd lost, you know, my business, and I'd lost Molly, and you know, all these things where suddenly I was all I had was music. And then one day I wrote that song, and then I woke up and I no longer had music. And so that's when I was like, I better check into treatment. And I had a meeting with the band where I told them if they'd play, what, one or two more shows with me, last two shows that we had on the books, that I would go to treatment afterwards. And so we struggled mightily through those.
We were both at First Avenue.
Yeah, at First Ave in
Minneapolis.
Nice.
Prince filmed Purple Rain.
Oh, don't get me started singing Prince on live radio. Please don't do that.
But then when I got out of treatment, that's when we picked up Dylan. We needed somebody to do all of the stuff that we needed somebody who could play all of the instruments. And
be a sound guy too.
Yeah. We wanted, like, so it was like, I want 20 more people in the band, but we can only afford one. So
gotta get an all-in-one man.
Yeah, so we found Dylan at a studio. We went to record some stuff at a studio, and I think I roped him into...
Yeah, you're like, do you play keys? This was after you asked me to run sound for your New Year's show. Well, actually, there was that Ritz Theater show that I think I was out of town for or something. But so at first I ran sound for the New Year's show of 2012, yeah. I think. And the world was supposed to end. And luckily it didn't.
That's right.
Maybe it did. And we just don't know. Yeah. A dream. Yes.
But then I think you guys came in for another session or something. And then you asked if I had keyboards. And I was like, yeah, I've got some weird keyboards. And I was like, you can check out some of the music that I have. And I like kind of hesitantly, I was like, this is my SoundCloud username. And it's like,
they're just a bunch of like weird noises and like they're like 30-second clips of like crazy things. And I was like, it's perfect. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah. So then, you know, slowly started building up more of a solid keyboard and guitar rig. I hadn't played guitar or keys in a band. I've always been a bass player and playing in groups.
We already had a bass player, and it was like we couldn't do the double bass as much as that would be amazing.
It's very very called for in lots and lots of types of music. The double bass guitar.
So how many instruments can you play, Dylan?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess if you were to ask anyone that question, they'd probably, depending on how much they want to sound,
how
like,
honest they want to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't play brass instruments. You know, anything that's laid out like a keyboard, I'll attempt to play. Or if it's a stringed instrument, you can usually figure it out.
He understands music in the sense that, like, the same way that... like I ended up going to college for music stuff. Okay. And so I can understand other instruments, and Dylan has that as well as the ability to mostly tinker his way out on them.
Yeah.
So, that's a talent right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I guess, you know, in this situation, I'm not called upon to, like, you know, rip organ solos, you know, so
like
it's
John
like
Tesh,
so
piano interludes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's really fun because it's kind of specific to my skill set, like what I'm interested in, which is more of textures and you know, just things that can
weird
exist.
Noises.
Yeah, weird noises. Bells
noises
and whistles and weird noises.
I actually have, like, I think it's like the question of the day for me.
Question of the day.
Question of the day.
You've named it yourself.
I've named it myself. And I just came up with this question of the day just like 3 seconds ago.
All right. This better be good.
Yeah. Uh-oh. The band name. This is something that just resonated with me. How the heck did you come up with Communist Daughter?
Communist Daughter?
For your band name.
Well, there's a band called Neutral Milk Hotel, and I spent a lot of time in basements listening to their record over and over and over again, and they have a song called Communist Daughter, and when I was looking for a band name, I had, like, recorded some songs, and I'd given them to a radio station in the Twin Cities called The Current, and they started playing. And I just had to come up with some name for a band. And, you know, there's the age-old name yourself after a song of another band. I don't, there's
Talking Heads.
Yeah, Talking Heads. Oh. There's lots of bands.
Radiohead had Radiohead in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Communist Daughter.
Yeah, Communist Daughter. And then, yeah, and it ended up sticking a lot faster than I think any of us intended it to be. Our name. I mean,
well, it's very like unique. Like,
yeah.
You know,
makes
like,
you think.
It really does. Makes you think outside the box. So, is the band that you stole your name from? Are they trying to get copyright from you?
They're. It's funny because they didn't like they disappeared for a good 10 or 15, 20 years, and then, and so like that's they were kind of this for the longest time. They were this band that was just like. Oh, there is this band that put out one or two albums and, you know, disappeared and you'll never hear them again. And then we started playing and suddenly they came back and they started
like,
touring.
That's mine.
And so then it's like, yeah, we're named after that band that everybody loves. So.
I think one of my favorite shows was that I've played with Communist Daughter was the 7th Street Entry, which so it's a shared venue with First Avenue. And... Neutromilk Hotel set up two dates to play. This was like 2 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they set up two dates to play, and we got asked to play the after party, which was next door in the 7th Street Entry, which is a small, smallish venue. And, you know, it like, so the two main room shows sold out because this band is awesome. And then... after their shows when our set started. And so at, like the 7th Street Entry reached capacity like right away. And it was like,
all the people from the show that were,
great.
So
yeah.
were named after their, that other band's song.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, that was a pretty electric show. Like it, just small stage and, people just crammed in there.
That's
it was
perfect.
It was pretty fun. It was
I kept hoping that we would run into one of the guys in the hallways behind the venue, and
yeah.
then I'd have to sheepishly be like, "Hey, we're in the band called Communist Daughter." You know, I talked to his booking agent once,
and Jeff.
I mean, yeah, Jeff's booking agent, and I mean, at least his booking agent is aware of us.
Cool.
He was like, yeah, that'd be weird if I put you guys on tour with them. I was like, yes, and you should.
So you just like mischief over there, don't you?
See, these are the weird and wild things that I like now that I'm sober is very tame.
Well, I had kind of a part two question on how you guys met, but like, what is it like being married to a member of your band? Because you were like, you know, there's a rule. You're not supposed to have a relationship. And
yeah.
So you did. Obviously, this worked out. It had some up and downs. But, so, like, what is it like?
You know, I feel like, and I hesitate to speak for both of us. So what I'm going to say, Molly could completely disagree with. But I feel like it's great. Number one, I get two votes now whenever the band votes on anything because Molly and I have to vote as a block. Cause
okay.
But we, you know, like, I mean, now that, like, it's a thing where you're not supposed to date somebody else in the band if you're not going to stick with them because
mm-hmm.
you can't break up. And
then it'll cause a lot
yeah,
of
but
chaos.
Lucky for us, we're just meant to be together.
Yeah, we try not to cause too much drama in the band because everyone will hate us. But
I think they already do.
Yeah, they probably do.
Because we love each other so much.
We love each other so much. We try to hold hands and kiss as much as possible. No, we try not to do that.
Aw, poor band.
I made space for you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
So we went to this really awesome cheap taco place. What was it called?
It wouldn't even matter.
Oh, it was so good. It was like an hour out of Sioux Falls.
Okay.
And and we all sat down, and Molly's like, "Oh, is this my seat?"
Yeah.
I was like, "No, actually, I was hoping to see you hold hands with John across diagonally across the table."
Yeah, I was. Yeah, makes
I didn't want to assume.
Go ahead, Al. Well, sorry.
I just wanted to interject that we usually take two rooms on the road, and we go three and three, and I room with Johnny and Molly most of the time.
How's that?
It's just like, well, first off, I get my own bed every time.
Sweet.
Because, so he worked out a deal. Yeah.
That's already sweet.
We don't go with a rotating bed.
No, we don't. We don't know. No, we don't. but I should say that even, you know, behind closed doors in the room, they're just like bandmates. They're, you know, they don't have like spousal issues, you know, come up a lot. You know, they talk about, I don't ever feel
we talk about you a lot.
Yeah, a lot of times they just talk about me. And it's weird. And usually I'm in the next
room. It's great because we worked out like I know that my room, because I'm the sober guy, my room is going to be the boring room, which works out fine for me, which I think Al and I get along that way, but sometimes Molly gets squirrely and she wants to go sneak off to the other room.
Gotta go party. Yeah. So thank you so much for that answer. It was hilarious. I loved it.
So we're gonna go into our last question. You guys are performing tonight in Omaha.
Yes.
No Leavers, 9:30.
Yeah.
So other than after tonight in Omaha, what's the best city or place that you guys have performed in?
Oh man, we have these
after Omaha.
After Omaha.
After Omaha. Come on, Al. I know you got it for us.
Can you say Minneapolis?
We have all our separate answers, I think. But
so I guess we can just swing the mic around like we've been doing the whole time and get everybody's answer.
Well, I'm gonna just off the cuff kind of say New York, because when we go to New York, the shows are always sort of elevated. We all feel, you know, just a extra sense of like, you know, just enjoyment. And I don't know, it's just a little more intense. And I think it just brings everybody up a little bit.
Yeah.
Was it Lawrence, Kentucky? What was the Lexington? There we played this this barn. This massive like Quonset barn with this huge like, I don't know, it seemed like it was like 40-foot fan that was just in there, and it was just
I forgot what the name of the place even.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was a legit bar, but it just looked horrible. And it was total roadhouse. It was awesome. That's my yeah, we were direct support for Jason Isbell, and so it was like the culmination of the tour, like the end date, and it was, so I mean maybe it was you know, emotions from being on the road with those guys for, you know, 2 weeks, but it was a really memorable show for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
What about you, Molly?
Gosh, now I'm just thinking about all the shows that we played. When we opened up for Jason Isbell, those shows were so cool because we played at all the big venues all across, all across where we ended up playing.
East Coast, yeah.
East Coast, East down South. So some of those shows were awesome. Like, we got to play Lincoln Hall and Bowery Electric in New York. So I don't know, yeah. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the Bowery was cool.
Bowery, it was awesome.
40
Watt in Athens, Georgia. That was the other one.
Yeah, the 40 Watt in Athens, Georgia is where like REM and all those bands started. For me, Spring Green, Wisconsin, a place called the Blank Barn. It's not called the Blank Barn. It's called...
Is it a bad word?
Yes.
S-H.
Barn.
Special character.
Yeah.
T-Y.
But it's a barn in Spring Green, Wisconsin that we've played a couple times. And it is a small town where, like, the whole town comes out to the show. It's crazy.
That's great.
Fun place for sure.
Yeah, definitely one of our favorites.
So are you excited for tonight at Olivers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've never played Olivers before.
Okay. I've heard of Olivers just a couple times. But, boy, that sounds like it's going
to
be great.
Talked to the bartender last night at the Pipeline because we had a day off. And he's like, yeah, the place is great. They got the best patio. That's what he said about it.
The best patio. There you go.
Gotta hang out on the patio.
I hope.
He's like, no, but he was like, it is a really nice place. You guys should have a great
good.
Time.
Good. You guys can add that to your list of interesting places that you performed. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up. This has been an incredible interview. This has been my first interview with a band.
Your first.
My first.
Congratulations.
And you guys rock.
Oh. And it was not a disaster.
Oh, hey.
Yes, it was incredible.
Quick question. What's the Ouija board? What do you guys do with
oh,
that?
No. Oh, no. Okay, maybe Noah can talk about this. Noah?
It's been in our studio too long. It needs to go.
Uh-oh. There's some things going on,
Noah,
huh?
Noah and DK, we are not a fan of the Ouija board. We have a fan in here, Christina, and she's... Oh, yeah, I'm calling you out. But, yeah, there we have Haunted Heartland coming up, and that is our annual kind of Halloween. It's like a party almost on radio. It's super fun. And we're going out. We're doing live interviews with people and ghost hunts.
Are you
going to
summon some demons?
Sorry?
You're going to summon some demons?
Oh, not me. Oh. But maybe Christina over here.
Oh, not me.
Definitely not in here.
They're trying to get me to do it. I'm just like, no.
Yeah, DK's not having it.
We'll be having a prayer circle in the other room.
Yeah. Too many scary things have happened with a Ouija board. I can't do that. I'm sorry.
I've got to shout out the other members of our band that are eating Chinese food and apparently drinking margaritas as well in the middle of the day. So
getting ready.
Yeah, they sent me a photo of what they're doing instead of the interview. Okay. And it involves a couple empty margarita glasses, I see. So shout out to Steve and Adam.
Yes, we wish you were here, Steve and Adam, because we had so much fun. Communist Daughter, they are here tonight in Omaha at O'Leavers, 9:30. I want to go see you guys. I'm excited. DK, anything else?
I would like to go too, but I have to work. Very dang unfortunate it. Thing over here. Unless you want to, I can give you my boss's number and you can call
yeah,
her.
Yeah, well, we should definitely call him on air.
That would be awesome.
You might just have to.
I might just have to. Before you guys, leave and whatnot, you have a sophomore album coming up.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about it? And
yeah.
What's the album called?
The album is called The Cracks That Built the Wall, and it is coming out on Friday, next Friday.
No way.
Yes. So
I'm going to go download that.
Yeah, you should. You can actually get three singles right now. You can get them. Otherwise, on next Friday, it comes out. And, I mean, I'm not saying that if you showed up at a show tonight that you might be able to see things that could possibly then be bought that would then possibly be not technically coming out until Friday, but
oh my goodness gracious.
So
now I really have to go. Yeah. So everyone, yes, be sure and come to O'Leavers. It's going to be Communist Daughter. They are amazing. I've had a blast. Thank you so much for listening to MavRadio.fm. Would you?
Oh.
Sorry.
That you looked at me and I was like, oh.
Sorry. No, we can do that later. We can make a liner later. How's
yeah,
that
let's do that.
So
yeah,
thank you so much for listening to MavRadio.fm with Communist Daughter.
Yeah, thanks for
thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
This is KVNO 90.7 HD2 Omaha.